Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the Lanterne Rouge Cycling Podcast for the Tour de France Grand Départ, Stage 1 of this year's Tour de France in Copenhagen. For the first three stages, not a prologue. It's a TT because it's over 10 kilometers long, so you can OTL and be out of the race, or you can crash out, obviously. Reminiscent of Dusseldorf conditions today. Nasty weather in Copenhagen for this 13K city technical TT. White painted pedestrian crossings, narrow bridges aplenty. My heart was in my mouth for the entire TT. Before we get into the results, as we always do, you know how we do TTs. I'll mention our show partners. Zwift, the only online cycling platform that makes training fun year-round. Whether you're a World Tour pro like Mathieu van der Poel, who played a big role today, or just starting out on your cycling journey, not only can you train and race across 9 worlds, including a France world, although we're not in France yet, you can hop on social rides or the LRCP Zwift Club. So just make sure you're signed up to the LRCP Zwift Club by the link down below. If you want to join Zwift, you can head to Zwift.com for a free 7-day trial. But before I read the results out, Benji, what was the talk yesterday about the weather? Because I don't remember the discussions yesterday. I was in the mountains. I was just getting in the zone for the month ahead. What was the projections for the rain for, like, across this afternoon supposed to be?
Basically, when we saw the start list of the riders, the order in which the riders were going to start, we saw that all the good riders that were supposed to be either GC riders or time trialists to go for the stage were early. And then we checked the forecasts, and the majority of forecasts were saying that it was going to be raining toward the latter part of this time trial. And when we saw the time trial today, it actually seemed to be the other way around, because the weather started being rainy from the start. And we saw in the first hour and a half of the time trial, of the 3.5 hours that we had the time trial, basically proper good rain. It's not that good for the race either, but you know what I mean. And then it started like getting a bit drier to the middle, got wet for a tiny bit again, and towards the end, it really seemed to have dried up. So we had basically the opposite of what it seems like every team was expecting, except for two teams, Astana and Israel. So either they got lucky with failing checking the forecast, or they checked the one forecast that did predict the weather correctly today. But yeah, what's your take on that? Is that a bit of a bad luck on the riders that chose to go very early compared to a Pogacar that went an hour and a half in when it started going a bit dry?
Well, I mean, Pog was only 40 minutes after Roglic and Jonas. Yeah. It wasn't that long. I guess there were windows, like Jonas and Thomas, Geraint Thomas, were in really heavy rain. You could see like massive spray off their wheels. It was raining really heavily. So yeah, it played in a little bit, but also how aggressive people and comfortable people were in those corners. But certainly it dried up for the last sort of third. There was a nice little window for the Lampaert-Laporte region, and it was Yves Lampaert who took the win. Like, I don't know what his odds would have been. Huge underdog for this TT. We've got Ganna, Van Aert, Van der Poel, Bissiger, Kung here, Pedersen here, and yet Yves Lampaert takes the win, not by a small amount, by 5 seconds ahead of Wout van Aert, eternally second, Pogacar third, 2 seconds behind van Aert, the best of the GC contenders. Unbelievable TT from him, even though he seemed frustrated in the first third of it. Ganna fourth. I've heard in the Italian press he had a flat on a tubeless that he didn't change in the second half, and his T1 to finish doesn't say that. Van der Poel fifth on 15:30. Pedersen sixth. Vingegaard seventh on the same time virtually as Roglic in eighth. They're the next two best GC guys. Then Mollema turns ninth and tenth, and caught 11th, Benji. So I think Dylan turns there in tenth. That proves the exact point we're making. Dylan Terns is not better than Geraint Thomas in this TT. He's not better than Michael Matthews on that bike exchange setup. He's not better than Alexander Vlasov. I'm sure he's a competent guy, but I think that, to me, that result really emphasizes how different the conditions were between the early starters and late finishers, because he just finished.
Yeah, certainly. But the weirdest part for me is that when we saw the initial time trialists, like, for example, a Mathieu van der Poel, he seemed to have a steady tempo throughout the entire time trial. And we saw Yves Lampaert with a similar thing towards the end of this time trial for his time trial, although the second part seems to be the faster part for him. But when we look at the likes of Pogacar, Van Aert, and Ganna, I feel like their second part was significantly faster than their first part compared to the competition that went earlier in the race. And the question there is that because of a wind change, or is that because the second part of the parkour was drier than the first part or something?
Well, when you look at Lampaert against MVDP, that's a good example you've just brought up. Lampaert was the fastest from T1 to the finish. He was eighth at T1. And he did a massive negative split. Might not have even been a big power negative split. Could have all been handling. He did it 51.3 average on the T1 to the finish. Van der Poel, for example, was ninth in that section. 49.6 average. Like, so that's almost, quick maths, 2 kilometers an hour difference. And MVDP, I was saying, I thought took reasonable lines. I think Pogacar was the best in those conditions in the technical part. Pogacar was 13th. To T1, then seemed to, you saw him shaking his head a little bit, then seemed to get his legs under him, and then he was second from T1 to the finish in worse conditions than some other riders. So incredibly good second half from Pogacar, and yet takes 8 healthy seconds on Roglic and Pogacar. But Benji, I'm blaming you for Lampaert winning. You knew I picked Van Aert in the preview for this stage. I was already counting my bragging rights. I was about to tweet 1-0 up because I thought he wasn't going to beat MVP, so I was going to have to eat humble pie. Then you tweeted that Wout Van Aert had already won. Everyone had. When I looked at the starting list today, everyone did. We're like, okay, so this TT's over at 5:20 and then we're going to have to sit through 80 minutes of nothing. And then Lampaert takes the win. Like, should we be surprised? Like, he's... Didn't he beat Remco in Belgian champs like 18 months ago or something?
18 months ago, yes. But 18 months ago is quite a while ago, eh? And that was also in the period that Remco was coming back when it comes to his injury. Now, first of all, don't expose me like that. How dare you expose me like that? And then second of all, when it comes to Lampaert, I feel like he's always been the underdog for time trials. He's always been better at the shorter ones and the longer ones. And I considered him roughly a 4th to 7th to 8th candidate for the time trial. Did I consider him going well to win the time trial? No, but I do think the weather helped him in that. I do think the weather is the reason that he's winning today. The weather changed between start and finish. If he starts with the first widest, he might not win this time trial, but does that take away from the time trial for me? No, because that's how the race is ridden. That's how cycling happens. Weather matters in time trials, and yes, the second part was a drier part than the first part, but Yves Lampaert is the winner of this time trial. And it's a victory that is, I don't know, it's odd because you still have people on social media talking about the Lotto Soudal versus Yves Lampaert thing from the Belgium Tour. I was surprised that Tim Wellens didn't come out of nowhere. Did Tim Wellens not come out of nowhere in the final kilometer to punch him off his bike or something?
I mean, I think Wellens has got himself to blame for that. I never really spoke on that too much. I was like, meh. You stuffed yourself. But that is a separate thing. The bigger controversy was his socks were like, they put Remco's to shame. They were around his hip, his socks. And then Radio Tour English, the English verified account of the Tour de France Radio Tour, tweeted Lampaert disqualified the space at Belgium Tour. But I only read the first half and I thought he'd been disqualified from this. I think a few people hastily going to the bookies during that. But yeah, I don't know if they were deliberately baiting me. They got me. But he wins. The funny other thing before we move on to the GC guys, Benji, he's one of the only specialized guys not to wear that ridiculous helmet that Vlasa was wearing. I think Benji tweeted he looked like he had his wisdom teeth out. He had a heat pack on his cheeks. But Lampaert was in the normal helmet. And so a bit of a marketing, I don't know how you spin that one if you're them. They were, anyway. But yeah, how is, I feel like Belgium wanted Van Aert to win and take yellow, because now Quickstep takes yellow. They were criticized by the British press and people like me for not taking Cav, and now they take yellow. Yeah, I think, what's the mood in Belgium now?
I've got absolutely no clue. I haven't gone outside since the time trial ended. I can imagine that half of the country's in riot because Van Aert didn't win, but it's also meant to be like that. Van Aert getting second is just in his blood at this point, so doing it again when it comes to the yellow jersey here on the first stage is not really a surprise from that aspect. He had to be beaten by someone, and Lampard was just the only rider left that could do it in the final, so destiny arises, and that's how Lampard won. But I don't know. I don't know what the feeling is going to be like in Belgium when it comes to the winner. I do think that the majority will be happy about a Belgian victory. And I don't know. What will Van Aert think about this time trial? Because getting second in this time trial, for example, is, first of all, very sad for the victory. I think that's the overwhelming thought of him during this stage. But on the other hand, before this Tour de France started, we were speaking about the green jersey and the impact of the time trials on that green jersey. And we know that the winner gets 20 points, the second gets 17 points. He's gaining 17 points over pure sprinters in this time trial. And compared to a Van der Poel taking 11 points, Mats Pedersen 10 points, that's already a small advantage as well. So is this not kind of a win in some shape or form for him?
Yes and no. The 17 green jersey points is nice, is good. The problem for him and why he's going to be, I think, a bit upset is the time gap to Lampard, because it's not under 4 seconds. That's the problem. So Wout would go into yellow if he comes third or better in any of the sprints in the next 3 stages, if there are sprints, but he won't. He has to come second to go into the yellow jersey. That's the problem. If it was 1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds, then he's like, green jersey, yellow's still well on the cards, looking good, because he's got a nice time gap, lost his time gap to, say, who's the Van der Poel's 8 seconds, he won't go. He's 10-second gap on Pedersen, so I need to check this exact. I don't think Pedersen, if he wins tomorrow, would take yellow on
No.
Van Aert, even if Lampard lost 5 seconds. So, yeah, it's bittersweet, I think, for Wout Van Aert. But Jumbo, I think, Benji, to be honest, I was just, as someone who picked Roglic to win the Tour, I was just like, just don't crash. Him and Jonas, just don't crash. Can't win the Tour today. Seriously, I was like, I don't care if it's 8 seconds, take some, lose some. I am surprised Pog took 8 seconds on them. Like, we keep being surprised by Pogacar's TTs. Well, at least I am. But does this TT change anything about your pre-race sentiment for the GC battle?
Not necessarily. While I did have Pogacar, it helps him out, of course. But this stage was not the all qualifying deciding factor of this Tour de France for me. The most important factor here was, is anybody going to be hindered by it or crashing out in this time trial? And that's not the case when it comes to the GC riders. So we've got all three of them, Pogacar, Roglic, and Vingegaard, getting through the stage unharmed. Yes, there's a tiny bit of difference there, 9-8 seconds on Vingegaard and Roglic. But I think the main factor here is that I think Jonas is a very, very good time trial. Despite, we know that he can time trial well, but I might have put Roglic ahead of him for this prologue initially.
Oh yeah, I did. In dry conditions, for sure. You looked at Dauphiné, Roglic beat him in that TT, and at Dauphiné TT, Roglic, I remember I did the side-by-side, he was going careful through the corners, but Jonas was way more aggressive through the corners, and he had terrible conditions with Thomas. So Jonas sent it, didn't crash, great TT, and they're the best of the rest after Pogacar out of the GC contenders. I will read out the list of GC guys. It is Pogacar, 8-second lead on Jonas and Roglic. Then it's Adam Yates on 15 seconds. He went late. Yeah, for the Ineos riders, so he beat Thomas on 17, Vlasov on 24, he also didn't go at a great time, Martinez 36, Haig 43, he said he had a flat in the TT, Caruso 47, Mas 48, O'Connor crashed, I believe, on 53, so big gaps, like 53 is no joke to O'Connor, and in terms of the podium, he's now already best part of 40 seconds behind Thomas. Like, you ain't going to get that back on Planche de Belfie, I don't think. So, and then there's the stage 20 TT. So already big moves to the podium in this stage one TT. I will say Thomas Ineos marginal gains with the new TT bike, but then forgot to tell him to take off his Gilet before the TT. So marginal gains, maximal losses. And yeah, he wasn't very happy after the TT. He was very, very mad. And he was mad after the Swiss TT too, where he wanted to go for the stage win, I think. Ganna had a flat tire, apparently, as I already said. Bissiger, though, he started early, Benji. Beat Ganna in the UAE Tour TT, similar length. And it just, from the first corner, I was like, he's going to crash. First corner, it looked bad.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, it's also the tension throughout the time trial that seemed to increase when it comes to Bissiger. So getting through the first corners was already a bit messy. And then there was like a pothole in the corner and he was like looking even more messier there. And then he started skidding away with his back wheel at a certain point during that time trial. And I think just the mental pressure of all those things happening each corner after another was probably the reason that but halfway to time trial, you already knew that nothing was going to happen here for Bissiger, and especially when he actually started crashing in corners. He crashed in one corner, then he crashed a bit later in another corner, and you see that during that period, he was already like taking the corners rally really slow. So, I don't know, is it... I felt like the tires of Bissiger slipped away when he went slow. Yeah, Rutsch crashed as well, and he looked a bit meh when it comes to his potential collarbone, so let's see what happens there. But when it comes to Bissiger, I felt like when he was going slow through corners as well, he was already skidding away a bit. So is that perhaps equipment-related, or was it purely Bissiger-related?
Well, it could be tire pressures too high. Vorters said on TV they had low pressure, that they knew, but Paulus did a good TT early, I think, or not a bad one. At least, that's not true, he came 44th. Yeah, so Paulus, for example, 14th in the quote-unquote non-technical 52k-an-hour section of to T1, and then he was 106th. Did he crash? 106th at 47k-an-hour average, Paulus, according to PCS, from T1 to the finish. So EF, definitely something wasn't right across the board, at least from what I can see. Uran, terrible TT2, so not a great day from them. Groupama FDJ2, Kuhn was awful, Benji.
But Patrick, this is a level of sport you will never understand.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe one day I'll be able to work for a good cycling team. But Kuhn came 14th as well. I don't think he crashed. It's either EF and Groupama had equipment issues, or Bissiger and Kuhn aren't good in the wet, or it's a combination of the two, or they just got unlucky with the weather conditions. But those are two guys who were sort of nailed on for top 10 in this TT. But speaking of guys going all out, first to T1, you'll have to look deep down the time splits list to find him, Christophe Laporte. First to T1, 5 seconds quicker than Lampard, around the same perfect window of this TT, he went, because they didn't think he was their top guy. And then he crashed in, I think, the bicycle corner on some paint when he pedaled. Do you think, here's the debate, Benji, embrace debate to steal from part of my take. Do you think Laporte, a quote-unquote domestique, but a good rider in his own right, should have been going full gas in this TT?
I think if you asked me before the time trial, I would have said, no, don't go all out. Stay safe on your bike. We need you when it comes to helping out Jumbo and try and get Jumbo into, just work for Jumbo in the later part of his race. So we don't want that person to crash out in the initial time trial. But looking at his initial time check, I was like, mate, you're beating Lampard. And then you're actually on your way to win this time trial at the end. So by that point, you're like, yeah, if you can actually take the yellow jersey here as a Frenchman, I would have said, of course. So it's kind of like that two-sided thing, you know? You don't want your domestiques to go all out because you want to be able to have them safely in this time trial. But on the other end, he was doing so well that he could have gotten the yellow jersey. So if that's the case, then he should go for it. That makes sense?
For sure. It's a Tour de France yellow jersey. If a Jumbo Visma rider can take it, it's better than Lampard taking it. And he had a realistic, non-delusional chance of taking it. He just crashed, and that was his TT over. Didn't look banged up. He slid, but I think you got to go for it, especially in a TT that suits him, and especially when it looked like Lampard was going to beat Wout when he probably set off. So any other news from this TT, Benji? I don't really – I think you just – if you're Jumbo, it just reinforces – there's a good chance Pogacar takes 30 seconds at least in the final TT on Roglic or Jonas.
Yeah, certainly. It reinforces that you need some time before that final time trial. And I think it might reduce the confidence for Roglic in that final time trial a tiny bit. But where did Roglic necessarily lose the time in this time trial? Is it the straightforward? The corners?
Corners. Yeah.
Okay.
I'll do a side-by-side in my video tonight of them doing that narrow bridge left-right chicane. And I reckon Pogacar's put a second into him just there, at least. Like, Roglic almost came to a standstill. You know where there was the white and red padding? Yeah, like, yep. He took terrible line. Or was he just over-braking? And Pog was like, whoop! He just, like a knife through putter. He was beautiful. Like, the lines Pogacar took in this second part of his TT, flawless. And MVDP was just... MVDP would have won this TT, Benji, if he went in the Laporte window. I think your pick... actually aged really, really well in terms of his technique and handling, was really, really good. But any other things from this TT? Jungle started the race, I think, technically positive for COVID, but he came 12th in the TT. He got the start because he's not contagious. I would say, weren't you surprised? Asgreen doesn't look good, but speaking of Danish riders, weren't you surprised how little camera time Mads Pedersen got? I swear they didn't show him.
Same. I was so shocked when suddenly he was at the finish line. I was like, mate, Pedersen's already on the road? I didn't see that. So it felt like they skipped over him completely. And it's also kind of the bad part of having four riders of such caliber within a small amount of time, because there were so many top-level riders on the road right at that time. Was it not the same time as Vanderpool and Roglic, if I recall?
I think so. Yeah, that's... Yeah, because they had all the big guns going in one window, and then there was another window with Pog, Van Aert, Ganna, and we could barely see even Ganna. We barely saw too much of. It seemed like, yeah, the space.
We need more motorbikes.
I'm not sure anyone's ever said that about a pro cycling race. We need more motorbikes taking out people. But yeah, I don't think I can't remember who got Minutemen, but yeah, it was. A Minuteman was almost a disadvantage if they held you up. But that was the TT. Lampard takes yellow. Patrick Lefebvre, burner account in ecstasy. And we might see him leading out their big sprinter tomorrow. Yellow leading out Jakobsen from Roskilde to Nyborg. It's supposed to be good weather, 22 degrees, sunny tomorrow. Wind is supposed to be headwind on the 18K bridge, but that could change. Probably crosswind before then. It will be very, very stressful. Carnage before then. 202Ks. It looks like a flat sprint, but it might be reduced. Who are you going with, Benji? Quickstep 1-2? Two stages in a row? Or who'd you pick? Philipsen, Pedersen, Van Aert, Vanderpool, reduced group?
You went for Jakobsen last time, I think, in our big preview. I went for Philipsen, and I'm going to stick with my Philipsen pick for this one. While on one end, I wouldn't surprise me if Jakobsen takes it. He's the fastest man on the peloton if we look at the successfulness of the season so far. But I don't know, I rate Philipsen, and I want to see that Quickstep train work out first before I judge it completely. So I don't know, I'm going to go for Philipsen on this one.
I'll go with Jakobsen. Pedersen's shape looks good. My big concern, Benji, I'll have to stick with Jakobsen. My big concern is Asgreen. I don't think he looks right. His knee looked bandaged up. Yeah. He's very important. Less important now that Seneschal's in, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I think we're going to see some very early games tomorrow, maybe even some arguments. You remember the UAE Tour with Alpecin when they told Benji that they actually did do a really good job pacing the break back when they let three Gazprom riders go away in a group on a flat stage and let Matthias Vaček win a sprint. They did do a good job. Apparently, but we'll see tomorrow. They've brought like 6 85-kilogram rouleurs that can't really do too much outside of Philipsen and Vanderpool. Will they be willing to commit multiple riders late if there is a break? I would say they should. Will bike exchange pace for Groenewegen? And will teams look at Quickstep? Now they have yellow, there's more onus on them to pace as well. I don't think. Yeah, and then there's also going to be the GC teams fighting for position. So anyway, break probably won't win because the peloton going to go crazy before the bridge. So it'll be interesting. Hopefully there's crosswinds. But yeah, thanks to Zwift for supporting the podcast. As always, our presenting sponsor, go check them out. Get your free 7-day trial to follow along during the Tour de France. That's all from Benji and I. Opening TT done. No GC contenders lost. No Valverde into the barriers. No Wout van Aert Roglic crash. I'm happy with that. We'll see you tomorrow. Ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.